Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, February 26, 2018. Begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Alford, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Horn.
If you don't mind, would you please bow your head? Lord, we come before you one more time, asking that you give that divine wisdom to us. Lord, we come before you, asking that you put that extra prayer with our county judge and his family. Lord, we ask that you not only do that, but make sure you look at each and every elected official in Jefferson County. Forget Williams' family. Lord, we ask that you put your loving arms around those individual families that have loved ones away fighting for our democracy. Lord, we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join with the pledge of your American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Proclamation reads, whereas Save Our Children, SOC Children in Motion, Inc. organized in 2003 and since its inception been a hands-on experiential working with over 8,000 youth in our community. And whereas SOC is a community-based organization serving all youth throughout Jefferson County and Golden Triangle, mentoring them to serve their community and promote high ethical standards in their lives. And whereas SOC Children in Motion goal is to reach children prior to their teenage years and help mold them to become a valued contributor as well as a positive influence in their community. Whereas SOC is concerned with fostering spiritual growth as a way to promote healing in the lives of at-risk youth, that without a relationship with God, at-risk youth do not have a chance to take control and make positive decisions about how to live. And whereas SOC Children in Motion, Inc. provides one-on-one training for parents to learn simple parenting tools that will enable them to help their teen handle problems appropriately and on their own. And whereas SOC has a reading program that assists the youth in our community. Now therefore be it resolved that the Commissioner Court of Jefferson County does hereby honor and commend Save Our Children, Children in Motion, Inc. for providing a forum for open discussion of all matters of public interest for the sake of all youth in our community. Signed this day by all members of the Commissioner's Court. Reverend Robert.
First of all, giving all honor to God, I'd like to thank the commissioners for y'all input on what we do with our youth. Now more than ever before, our youth needs everybody. It takes a whole village to raise a child. I want to thank the commissioners that especially you, Commissioner Arnold, that have been always there for Know Your County Courthouse, and for those that have spoke during Know Your County Courthouse. It's a grand event. Last year we had over 700 kids participate. It's great when you can open up the doors of the courthouse and let these kids know just because you say courthouse, it don't mean jailhouse. And we all know that it takes a village to raise a child. On behalf of myself, my board members, my beautiful wife, we thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all.
Thank you. Thank you for all the work you did. There's nothing more important than reading among today's youth is no more important tool for equipping them to lead productive lives. So we thank you for that, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Members of the Gift of Life would like to come up to the podium. Good afternoon. Forgive me, I broke my glasses right before I came in here. So
Judge, that's all right. My golden
doodle ate mine, and these are like 10-year-old prescriptions I've been paying.
Whereas Gift of Life is hosting the 13th annual Champagne and Ribs event benefiting its men health and prostate cancer program that provides vital health care for Southeast Texas men who cannot afford insurance or their high deductibles. And whereas the event will be held on Thursday, April 5th at the Beaumont Civic Center and recognize four outstanding program advocates, Commissioner Eddie Arnold, Attorney James Black, Physician John Fowler, M.D., and Business Leader Chuck Mason. I was hoping y'all were going to get Commissioner Alford back there so I could see him in that wig. Whereas Gift of Life annually screens more than 500 medically at-risk men, providing free prostate cancer screenings, a battery of vital primary care tests, and essential educational outreach and screening sites in Beaumont, Orange, and Fort Arthur. Whereas the Gift of Life pays for all medical costs, including prostate cancer screening, diagnostic tests, and cancer treatment costs. And whereas statistics reflect that early detection is the best protection against prostate cancer, with a 5-year survival rate for men whose prostate cancer is diagnosed early being nearly 100%. And whereas Gift of Life, through its continued partnership with local physicians and medical entities, ensures that all dollars and resources remain local to directly help Southeast Texas men and their families. Whereas since 2000, the year 2000, the Gift of Life has made available more than 9,000 free prostate and cancer screenings and helped extend the lives of at least 74 men that have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Commissioner's Court of Jefferson County is hereby proclaimed February 26th as the Gift of Life Men's Health Awareness Day in Jefferson County. And we urge all men in our community to pursue preventive health care practices and early detection efforts. Ms. Sampson.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners, for, as always, allowing us to share our Gift of Life message with you and the community. And I would also like to introduce and thank those that are with me today, as they're our ambassadors of this cause. We've got our Champagne and Ribs event co-chairs, both Sherry and Vernon Pierce, and our MAC steering committee member, Reverend Dean Calcutt, who's also a prostate cancer survivor, and our cherished executive committee officer and committee member, Dora Nesby. So, and oh my goodness, how can I forget? And, oh, we've got this handsome face with us as well, Constable Earl White, who has been kind enough to basically join this cause and serve as our honorary chair this year for June Men's Health Screenings. And he has been a witness for us, and we're so delighted that he's willing to share his time as well. And so I'm going to, if you don't mind, just again kind of echo the statements of what the importance is as our program. And this Champagne and Ribs is it's a party of the year, but it's also a party with a cause. It's so important because all of the funds that are generated through this event, they all stay local. And thanks to your support, along with those individuals and businesses throughout Southeast Texas, many men of more than 75, once we begin keeping those records, are able to attest that their life has been prolonged thanks to our free medical services that pays for the screenings, the diagnostic, and actually even the cancer treatment, which is unfound. There's not another program from here to Houston, Louisiana, that offers this free medical care, a substantial conduit of care that offers the support from the beginning from the screening and even for a monthly support group to these men. As a judge had stated, we provided nearly 10,000 screenings, and once we saw the critical nature of what these men needed beyond cancer in terms of our cancer health care, we knew that once we got these guys in one room and we do these screenings, why not extend that healthcare platform beyond that to other chronic diseases that we see in our area, and those extend from diabetes to Hep C to HIV, as well as to blood glucose. So more than 500 men this year, thanks to your support, will be provided with these free healthcare services and then directly navigated to primary care or to other federal quality clinics that will extend compliance and ongoing services to these men. The rippling effect is phenomenal. So for every one of those men, exponentially, it impacts their family, it impacts the economics of our region, it impacts the re-navigation so that they don't have latent diagnosis and enter into our emergency clinic. So on behalf of the gift of life, Regina, who, I'm sorry, extends her apologies that she had to go on a, she was on an Indian, she was on a cancer call this morning, that she couldn't be with us, but thank you. Our heartfelt gratitude to everyone for believing in our cause, supporting our efforts every year, and allowing us to bring this platform to the medically underserved men in Jefferson County. So again, thank you for being part of this initiative and knowing that we're truly making transformational changes in Southeast Texas. And if we have just a few minutes, can I ask some of our representatives to also add a brief comment?
Sure, tell us where the Champagne and Rib event will be at the Beaumont Civic Center April 5th, and where can people get tickets?
Well, thank you, Judge. Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah, we're going to be handing these out in just a moment, and everyone will have an opportunity, we hope, to come. It's the party of the year. It's going to be at, as you said, at the Beaumont Civic Center. It's April the 5th, and it's all you can eat and drink, so it's fun. And then this year, it's Viva Las Vegas. And our wonderful Commissioner Eddie Arnold will be leading the non-criminal Viva Las Vegas, I should say. Our very civil, you know, legal ways, so we'll be having fun tokens, and we've got Elvis impersonators and a great band, and so, and there's also a chance to win this really cool Tundra. I don't know much about trucks, but everybody saw this, they went, wow, this is unreal. It's a Toyota Tundra, and only for $100 you have a chance to win this truck, and there's only 500 raffle tickets being sold, so great odds. And when we pass out the information, again, everything goes back to our screenings. And so we invite and encourage everyone, please, to share the information and take advantage of these screenings. Get these guys out there. Take it to your church, your other organizations. It's more than a $300 value of primary care tests. And there's on-site physicians that will help and listen to them and also explain. Many of you have been there, you can say, I mean, it's the most robust and really complete screening that will lead a lot of our men to getting the help that they so desperately need. So anyway, thank you. We'll be passing that out in just a moment so that you'll have the information. And would our event co-chairs like to say something as well?
I'll say that what a great way to have a good time and support a wonderful cause. You'll be getting a cup here in a minute. And in there, it talks a little bit about Champagne and Ribs. I want y'all to take this out and post it on your walls so you can see Eddie every morning. I'm telling you, buy a ticket, come to Champagne and Ribs and support a wonderful cause. So I think it's great. I appreciate Earl being the leader of all the, it's also got a card here about the screening and that beautiful picture of Earl in the back. So thank y'all so much for the proclamation.
Good afternoon. I stand here as a testament to early detection. Just before Harvey, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I was fortunate enough to have any medical insurance, but I'm sharing this because I want to make sure that every man gets tested. It saved my life. The gift of life provides a valuable service to this community. So I'm honored to be the honorary chair for prostate cancer. And I'm telling every man, young and old, be a man, get tested.
Yeah. It's been 18 years since I was treated successfully for prostate cancer. And that has gone well for me. At the same time, about that time, we began an organization of prostate cancer survivors that meets once a month at St. Mark's Church on the corner of Collar and Pearl about 6 o'clock in the evening. And this is an opportunity for men who have had prostate cancer, but key part for those who have just been diagnosed, those who are surviving with it, get together and talk about these, and we have speakers who come in and keep us informed of what's going on that as well. So that's the regard to the treatment itself and the continuing treatment afterwards as you're living through this experience.
Thanks, Pete. You also be interested in one of them.
I just wanted to say that the gift of life is about saving lives, and you have been right there with us every step of the way as we have saved so many lives. So we appreciate your continuing your support, because without you, I don't know if we could make it. So we are about saving lives, so keep on helping us. And thank you very much.
If I could also, we have a wonderful member of our team who's now co-chairing our sponsorship for this year, Cindy Yowie. So Cindy, would you like to say?
I'd like to thank you like everyone else did. Your support in our community is incredible, but then everyone sitting in chamber also. Our community's come together to save so many lives, and that's our mission, and we hope to continue forward for a very long time. Thank you.
Thank you.
And would you mind if we come up there and take a quick picture for our Facebook?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, no. One second.
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to our county clerk Carolyn Hendry, if I can get her to come up here. She has something that she wants to share with y'all.
Okay. Well, actually,
it's my team. Oh, no. Denise is going to make the presentation. We support the Gift of Life with the County Clerk's Office, and we appreciate everything that the Gift of Life does in our community. Denise.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Mama. Some of you might know I'm an employee with the County Clerk's Office, and about a year and a half ago, I got the scare call, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I am in remission. And I have been supported so much by all of you through the bake sales that we decided to have to benefit the Gift of Life. Not that they helped me, but they have helped so many underserved here in Beaumont and all of Southeast Texas. And I appreciate that. I am privileged and honored to present a check from our little bake sales that y'all all helped support throughout the year. Last year we raised $3,500. Wow! Norm is an old classmate of mine, so sorry we're hugging and kissing right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tell them, boy. Wow, first I want to say that it wasn't just my decision. I had approval by my boss, Ms. Guidry. So it's not like I just threw a table out there and had bake sales, but we tried to do one once a month. And I just really want to continue to help them. They really serve our underprivileged here in the Southeast Texas area. Thank y'all all.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for providing this. As you know, our women's program has a tremendous impact in Southeast Texas. More than 30,000 free mammograms. 17 women last year were diagnosed with breast cancer with our efforts, and they're being navigated into treatment. So this will make a life-saving difference. Thank you.
Judge, you know, I would like to wrap up by saying this. When we go to county commissioners' meetings around the state and visit with different people, me dealing with health and welfare, sometimes we don't know the gem or the diamond we have. Not us, We know that now, the gift of life has been tremendous to our community, and we want to make sure you know we appreciate everything you have done and will continue to do for the citizens of Jefferson County. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
My colleague, you gonna be Elvis?
Say what? I don't want y'all to look dark to that picture, okay?
Execute receive file a lease extension for the remaining lease of properties acquired as a result of buyout with Mike and Sandy Miller for an additional 5 years from March 8, 2018 to March 5, 2023. Item C is consider and approve the lease extension for the remaining lease of properties acquired as a result of buyout with Justin D. Pearson for an additional 5 years from March 8, 2018 to March 7, 2023. Item D is consider and approve disposition of salvage property authorized by local government code 263.1523 for broken or obsolete items. Do we have a motion on those items under person? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
Only question I have on those lease, do we have to hold them to only using it for certain things? Is this that property?
Yes, sir.
They can't put fences that would impede water flow. Okay. They cannot put permanent structures.
Got you.
Like trailers. Right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Airport, we have one item to receive, file, executed operating agreement terminal lease between Jefferson County and American Airlines, Inc. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Auditor, item A is consider to approve electronic disbursements for $417,593.88 to LaSalle Correctional for revenue received from entities for inmate housing. And B, the regular county bills, check numbers 443-506 through 443-731. Via addendum, item C is considered approved budget amendment for Beaumont maintenance for replacement of ice machine in the jail, the amount of $5,775. And item D is considered approved budget transfer for road trip. Precinct 4 for additional cost for repair. That motion on those items under County Auditor.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold. Second by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Commissioners, the last item that had previously been considered is item C, to receive, file, and execute an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County Precinct 3 and City of Port Arthur cleaning and grading ditches pursuant to Section 791.014. Texas Government Code, the Interlocal Cooperation Act. Do I have a motion on that?
So
moved by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under Human Resources, we have one item, A, to consider and possibly approve and receive and file provisions to personnel policy practice and procedures manual. Section 6.3, operations of Jefferson County vehicles. Section 6.5, Jefferson County Courthouse Office of Safety and Security Policy, and Section 8.1 Alcohol and Drug Testing Policy for employees subject to the Department of Transportation Regulations. Do I have a motion on that?
Yes, I think we need to have Kerry come up and go through those before we do that.
Sir, do you have a specific question?
No.
The DOT policy was just an update from what they recommended a few minor changes on their website, and incorporated those. The safety and security policy just reflects that we're not having department heads sign off on replacement badge policy. That became too cumbersome. It's not the effective practice that we have right now.
I'm sorry, say that one again.
When the policy was originally written, we had put in there for department heads having to sign off on their employees to get a replacement badge, but that's obviously become too cumbersome to do.
and it's not really an issue for us. And then the third thing, the third policy that you see affected there is our driving policy, and that reflects those changes that Ms. Kennedy asked us to put in there regarding liability insurance.
Okay. Here are a couple of questions. Under section 6.3, under B.
Hang on just a second. Okay. I'm sorry, I was coughing.
Okay. Just for clarification, one relates to the precincts and then precinct service centers and other sheriff's office. So under section B, it says employees who operate county vehicles or equipment larger than a dump truck size, such as dump trucks and tractors, are exempt from the non-owned insurance recommendation. Just for clarification, obviously there are other equipment in the inventory of the precincts other than tractors, so any of that, even though it's not named, it's still covered, it's still identified underneath this.
If they can't drive it home, then they don't need the non-owned coverage.
Right, so just, okay, just want to make sure just because it's not on here.
Correct.
And then the under C, under law enforcement, just want to make sure there's no conflict or negative impact on the county sheriff deputies as it pertains to their auto policy or non-owned. There's no conflict there with our policy versus what the sheriff may have in her policy.
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, like, for example, we have a minimum, right? That's what I wanted to kind of clarify and confirm.
Right,
we're
that,
paying a minimum.
That
right,
minimum is
to make sure
statute.
That they're covered.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's statutory.
That's
you adopted. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Statutory minimum. Required by Texas law for minimum limits of liability insurance and property damage.
Correct.
That's right. And it still encourages for them to get insurance above that minimum at their discretion.
But the county will pay to make sure that we got them covered just on the minimum.
That's right.
Let me ask one question added to you do, Commissioner.
Yes.
My question added to it. If an employee get in an accident, go over and give us the process to reporting, man?
Well, the first thing you need to do is notify your supervisor.
All right.
And first of all, let's make sure everybody's okay. You know, that's number one. If you need to call 911, that's what we do. We notify our supervisor, we notify the sheriff's department. Normally, the local jurisdiction, we report author, Beaumont, somebody else is going to come out of state, whoever. We want to get pictures. We want to get pictures of the accident. Get pictures of driver's licenses, you know, whoever's involved in that accident. Let the investigating officer obviously do their thing. The sheriff's department has sent out in various cases, depending on the scale of the accident and stuff, they can come out and take photos as well. But the more documentation we have, obviously, the better. Once that's done and we make sure that everybody's taken care of, then we will take our employee and transport them and have them tested for drugs and or alcohol. That's in accordance with the policy
right.
that we just talked about. And once that's done, then once fault is determined, if we're at fault, then our employee is then mandated by policy ultimately to take a defensive driving course at their own expense. Essentially, that's it. That's up to each individual department. We do not have a uniform, any type of disciplinary procedure if a person was in fault or something like that. But it'd be up to each individual department to take a look at that.
And I wasn't looking at that, but I do want this. If there's an accident, I'm glad you said one part of it about the urine, because I know from the precinct standpoint, we definitely go out and do that. But whenever accidents occur in this county, I want that to come to this court.
And that's for the employee protection as well as the county. It's for everybody's protection.
Okay.
In terms of that, Commissioner, Commissioner Weaver, I did want to clarify. We do not pay currently for any insurance coverage. We are self-funded for our insurance coverage in the amounts of those liability limits. Okay. So there's not a policy per se out there. I just want to clarify that.
Right.
So, but it's still coverage?
Yes, it's still coverage, as a self-funded coverage, correct.
Right, also, Kerry, I think what's misleading, you said, once an accident happens and fault is determined, but whether you're at fault or not, you still have to take offense at driving.
That is not necessarily the case, and that's not where our policy dictates. In other words, if the other person got the ticket, if the other person got a ticket, and you know you were at a light and you got rear-ended, we will still make you go take the test. But if you were not at fault, if you were no motor vehicle violations or anything like that, then we have not made those folks. Now, if it's inconclusive or undetermined, then that's a different story. But if there's clear liability on the part, the other person's insurance is paid, the other person received a ticket and our driver did not, then I don't remember each and every case, but as far as I'm concerned, we have not.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is the situation with one of my employees, he didn't receive a citation, but he still has to take defense.
Well, and again, we have to look at all the circumstances that are involved in that. Because they may not receive a ticket, but it's also maybe that it's inconclusive. At that point, it's better upon our employees to be reminded that they need to be driving.
And that's why I'm asking you to say that, because I was unaware, and he was also, even though he was sent out by the office, that it's recommended they take it. And they have to pay for it.
Yes, correct. Okay.
It is
their expense.
Chair, I'm coming to you. I would go back about three and a half years. Sheriff's Department offered defensive driving. Does that benefit us, Patrick, with our insurance? Because they stopped doing it because they said they didn't have anybody qualified or something like that. It was taking too much problems, too much time. I need to know, would it reduce our liability insurance and benefit our county? Because if so,
Commissioner, we don't have liability insurance. We don't pay for that, so it's not an impact on the premium or anything along those lines.
Yes, we're self-insured on that now.
So we don't have to worry about it.
I would let the legal side of it speak to that if it helped out the case. All of our drivers had defense.
Now, we are probably going to get a bid from TAC for the provision of that, but it would be the Commissioner's Court's decision whenever we get that.
And we're working on trying to compile all that information right now.
Going back to the non-owned coverage,
mm-hmm.
Is there going to be, I've advised Environmental Control and any other departments that are under my liaison to call y'all if they had questions and you know contact their general agents. But are we going to put out some guidance on that or some kind of directive so that people will be informed officially that that's something that they need to do so we don't have some situation where I didn't know?
Well, I'll defer to legal counsel on that.
Right, so I wanted to get a memo done and sent out to every person that is assigned a vehicle that that would apply to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, any further discussion?
Thank you, Chair.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. At the Sheriff's Department, we have one item. Consider a public approval resolution recognizing Correctional Officer Daniel Lynch for a day, 25 years and 2 months.
There was no motion or second.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Officer, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Ms. Gibson. Sheriff's Department, item 8, consider a public approval resolution recognizing Correctional Officer Daniel M. Lade for 25 years and 2 months dedicated to correctional service and citizens of Jefferson County, and wishing him well in his retirement. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously, and that completes our regular agenda. Is there anything any member of the court wishes to bring to the attention of the public?
Yes, I'd like to bring to their attention, we're in the last week of early voting. Please go out and vote.
That's
it's
my job.
Time to do it, but that's all right. I'll do it for you.
Also, commissioners and Mr. Knight, any state of Texas has gotten an early allocation of hazard mitigation grant funding. Typically, it doesn't come until August in the year following a disaster, but it's already come to the state and is being transferred from the U.S. Treasury. And Texas Division of Emergency Management will soon be accepting notice of intent to participate in the program with projects. It is a competitive grant program, but the hazard mitigation grant is designed to ameliorate or make resilient, more resilient county facilities from future natural disasters. For instance, in the aftermath of Ike, we elevated some radio interoperability equipment down off 73 to keep it out of storm surge's path. Hardening of facilities to make them more resistant to wind, new roofs, any other county infrastructure or property that can be hardened in a way that will make it more resistant to natural disasters as well. Can include home buyout programs for those who live in floodways or who have suffered repetitive loss in the past. So need y'all to put on your thinking caps for any particular projects. We're going to need to get those projects in to the Texas Division of Emergency Management here pretty soon.
When do they need to be in?
I think they're opening up the notices of intent on March 7th or something, so you'll be able to do those online. So,
Mr. Swain has the email. We just have to compile that list to be able to get them in. We sat down with Mr. Rayo and Alex from the airport several months ago, putting this together as well in the judge's office.
Yeah, I need to bring it back before this commissioner's court. We need to see it.
Oh, it has
well before it's ever submitted, it will all be approved by the court.
So we can get a chance to view what project it is, and then we can see if we need to add things to it. So the sheriff and all of us get a chance to look at different departments.
Greg had a good question. He had sent out on the email, I think it was to Starla, about some potential projects and would it include culverts, outfalls, and stuff like that. You know, I'm understanding, Patrick, maybe you can shed some light on this, but when we met with that FEMA rep about the roads, I could have swore I understood that culverts and cross pipes would be under possibly mitigation. Do we know that for sure? Because, you know, we had a lot of washouts under the road. We did some emergency repairs on them, but we're going to have to build headers on each side to prevent that from occurring again. And possibly that would be under, is that what we're talking about here with this, this funding?
There's two programs. I think there's a 404 and a 406 mitigation programs. Can't remember which one, but one of them is upgrading something that's directly destroyed by the storm.
Okay.
So whatever program that is, I think that's the one they're looking at. As you say, this is something that's physically been washed out by the storm. When you go back, you don't want to put what you had in there because it didn't work. Right. So you have extra cost to make it better. And I think that's usually at a 75-25 because there is a 25% match.
Okay.
So Patrick, Deb and Patrick on my phone, as far as my stockpile yard, would that be one of the projects that we would have to hold off on?
No.
Well, it depends. Right now, you know, you're looking to have it. FEMA's going to look at it to put it back to the way it was. If you're looking to upgrade it or change the way you improve it, that would probably fall under that. Mitigation.
If you wanted to elevate something, that the public assistance is only going to go back to pre-disaster. And we also need to keep in mind that we need to consider the universe of possibilities for natural disasters, because, you know, we've had 5 named storms, 3 major storms in 12 years. All of them have been different. You know, Rita was a wind and vegetative debris event. Ike was a storm surge event. This was a rainfall of epic proportions event. So we need to consider how the storms might be different and how they might affect county infrastructure, depending on the nature of the natural disaster.
How much money are we talking about?
Well,
so far there's $500 million that's gone to the state, but they're going to get some more in August.
It's usually roughly 15% of the damages of storm, of the FEMA.
Public assistance.
FEMA public assistance. And we do have a plan already approved, and that was one of the things that you have to have.
And if we have any new projects that the commissioners or any other elected official are considering for funding, we may need to go back and look at our hazard mitigation plan and amend it and refile it with TDM, so because the only fund banks are identified in your hazard mitigation plan.
Right.
And what's the timeline on this?
Well, it's the notice of intent is to, they want to try to get it ahead of time. It's what they're trying to do, to get those grants in and see what you're asking for on this type of program.
Then they'll do your notice of intent, then they'll come back and they'll look at it for eligibility determination. If the thing would be eligible, they'll send you back a complete package so that you can give them the engineering and the cost and all that.
Right, and the reason I'm asking is because right now I'm not able to access that building. I don't know, I need to know if it's feasible to just put it back like it was and it's still might flood, or just wait, because we do have bids on it.
And, well, right now, I do have the engineering, you know, we're looking at the engineering responses, and we have to grade the top three recommended, and with the top graded out of those three, we'll go into the, you know, we'll get an agreement with them. And then at that point in time, I believe it would be feasible that they go out and assess it along with, I don't think FEMA's been out there yet, correct?
Patrick, the other thing is, with what Commissioner Weaver brought to the table in reference to those culverts and all that underground problem that we have that we can't see, my guys are beginning to bring the problems that we have from the underground perspective in the county. And we definitely need to make sure we're part of whatever plan it is, because there is some washout, move around, and it is more catastrophic than we may think. You can't see it until after it clears up, and the water hasn't stopped completely yet because it's raining down there every 3 days.
Yeah, if you're talking about ice failure and things like that for your roads, that's going to be a fine with FEMA.
Fine. So, and getting to that point real quick.
Y'all met with the guy. Yeah. I mean,
the audience is probably bored with all this road stuff, but while we're on this stuff, you know, they came out and met with us. I mean, in my precinct, I think we got about 1.28 miles, a little over a mile of road. We felt pretty lucky. Out of 20 miles that were underwater, we only had about a mile and a half to, if we don't really need to do something with.
With visible damage.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it is what it is, but do they go through, like, we turned in all the pictures and all of the, did they go through and they tell y'all, okay, this road's going to be approved, or this road's not going to be, how does that work?
We haven't reached that point. What they've done is, mainly the process has been submit your damage.
Yeah.
That was the first step. Get all your damage inventory in there. We have an extensive list of damages. At the time, we put a lot of base failure words like that. They didn't particularly like that for the residents. Then after that, it becomes a site inspection, and some of y'all have had site inspections. We've gone through our second program director. He's a little different from the first one. He encourages us to go fix what you would fix if FEMA wasn't there, which is not how we like to hear it, because we want to fix it right. And to do that, I think it's going to require a lot more work than just patching. I think that's, they're still back to the visible damage.
Yeah.
So, but there was some discussion about having the engineer look at the roads and determining a percentage of the effect of the base load. And trying to put a dollar figure to that, almost to the point that y'all come up with the, or the county come up with their own dollar figure, submit that. But so far, we haven't really seen an actual project worksheet get to fruition, other than we had two expedited, one for DeBray and one for emergency measure. But that was just to give us some money.
So the emergency measures that we made on our roads during the time, for example, on Cloverdale, the sheriff's office called us, said there's a pothole, literally a hole in the road. Luckily, we went out there and looked, it was about 10 foot deep. Had washed out underneath the road. They did an emergency deal, got limestone out there, filled everything up, just got where we could make it to the next morning. Then we went out and fixed the cross pipe that separated. So that's an emergency repair. So that gets funded separately. Is that what you're saying?
That would go, yeah, towards a category B. Yeah. Because different categories. Category A is debris. Category B, sorry, emergency measures. C is your road. Right. Category C. Everything is at 90-10 ratio. 90% FEMA, 10% county. Yeah. Except for the emergency measures. It's done at 100%. First 30 days after the storm. So whenever that was done, it could possibly recover.
But see, now you have a road that was dug up, the limestone back, we put hot mix on the top to seal it, but we'll eventually need to come over with a chip seal.
Right.
And that's where, you know, this is, we're trying to understand this whole process. And, you know, basically we're just moving forward, doing it like they weren't even there. I mean,
right. I think what the guidance that was given was,
make sure you
document what you're doing. Let's right. get the cost, the materials, your equipment rates, and your manpower to do the road. Get that estimate in there, turn that in, and see if they'll write that. Well, what you're probably going to be doing, it's most of the time you're probably just repairing versus possibly like tram road, you might have to dig a whole lot up just to redo it all because it's at
Well, you know, the conversation I had with the project manager in our office is it's very, very hard to determine a cost on labor because if you're bouncing around different roads, you may have one person over here, but can't give you a cost ahead of time. It'd be better to work the project all the way through, track it, then turn it in instead of giving a cost before it even starts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we may not, you may need to blade it 4 days instead of 1 day.
I sent out with the guy last week, and his thing was for us to write everything up and estimate the time, and you do better being on the upside of that estimate than the downside. That's what he told us. And the other thing that's very important is, I'm sorry, Patrick, it was to make sure you take pictures.
Yeah. The other thing is y'all work under a certain window of time that you can do your work. I think they were under an impression that
we're getting
you can start. It's like, no, we have a season that we can do it when the temperature's right. So that was kind of an eye-opener for them.
My Lawhorn Road was an eye for them after they went out there. And engineer, I want to visit with y'all because they went out there to look at it, and I'm trying to figure out what's slowing that process down. I'm bringing in DD6 to write me up a corrected plan for that particular road because it's still closed. And it's that thing is that is an emergency thing for them.
Yeah. And if you go back to we didn't hardly get any money. We barely got some money for Reno, I think, on roads. The money that came in for the roads and I came from CDBG funds. So if that's that sounds like that avenue is not being funded now.
That's getting funded.
Based on the amount of damages that are here and in Harris County and all over the Lockport.
Well, what we calculated on ours was just the materials is about $50,000.
I say that's not too bad. $50,000.
Well, for the record, Commissioner, we would say he had how many miles we had there?
Well, I only have about a mile and a half.
I have 79 miles in all mines. For the record.
Yes. Sounds like my estimate.
Yeah. I just want to be clear.
Anything further?
Yes. Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Friday I'll be dancing against the stars for junior league.
Say again?
Friday, I will be participating in Dancing with the Stars for junior league. I'm going to embarrass myself for a very good cause, so I appreciate your support.
Will you come up there and demonstrate?
Yeah.
Ms. Thorne, you came in late. Did you have something you needed to talk with?
Well, I just was going to tell the Commissioner's Court Judge how wonderful y'all were, and I appreciate your job.
Thank all of you for being present today. If there's nothing further, then we are adjourned.
Stop.